Welcome to the MRBC podcast. Let's join Pastor Russ Marin for today's message.
Today I would like to begin in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. If you'll turn in your Bibles, I'm going to begin reading at verse 4. As I was preparing this message this week, I thought to myself, I wish there were some things that I would have understood when I was a younger man. I also thought about my own father. My father was very good to me. He was murdered when I was 15 years old, so I didn't have the privilege of being a young adult with him. But he was very good to me, but I never knew whether or not he was a saved man. I didn't know for certain whether he was a Christian man or not. He always took me to church, but only two times in my memory did he ever go to church with me. And as I began to prepare this message for today, what I'm going to tell you today, and I thought to myself, what do I wish someone would have told my dad years ago before he was killed? There are six things I want to share with you that I think are very important. This could be the most important message that you ever will hear. Let me begin reading here in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Samuel was a young man being trained to be a prophet by the high priest Eli. Samuel had been born to his mother Hannah, and Hannah had made a vow to give him to the Lord to do the Lord's work for a lifetime if God would just give her a male child. So God did that when he gave her Samuel. And then when he had been weaned from the breast, Hannah gave him to the Lord and took him to Eli, the high priest, so that he could be trained to be a prophet. In chapter 3 of 1 Samuel, Samuel is asleep. And verse 4 says, "And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here am I.' And he ran to Eli, the high priest, and he said, 'Here am I, for thou called me.' And Eli said, 'I called thee not. Lie down again.' And he went and he laid down. And then the Lord called yet again, 'Samuel.' And Samuel arose, and again he went to Eli, and he said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And Eli said, 'I called not, my son. Lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord." Now this means that at this point in his life, Samuel did not understand the things of God. And it says, "Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." In verse 8, the Bible says, "And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. So he told the child Samuel to go and lie down, and if he was called again, he was to say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.' So Samuel went and laid down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" My friend, today God has some things to say to you and to me about how to live this life. And today I would like to share with you six things that I wish I would have known as a younger man, six things that I wish someone would have told my dad when I was a child or when he was a child. I think they're very important. Number one, I want you to understand that you can do something for God. You can do everything that God has for you to do if you are just willing to do it. To step out in faith and be obedient, you can do it. My friend, today, you are important to Jesus Christ. And I would say to you that God cares about you. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible says, "Casting all your care on him, for he careth for you." And you may say to me today, "What can I do? What can I do?" Maybe you say, "I don't have any training. You may say, I'm not from a Christian family. Or you may say, I'm just not a good person. What could I do for God? And I'm telling you that the Bible says God cares about you and you can do something for God. I've been saved 3 years and I was really searching, what does God want me to do in my life? And I walked into a total stranger, a preacher, walked into his church one day and told him what I was thinking and how I was spiritually searching. And he asked me if I knew what the verse John 3:16 said, and I didn't know. Well, John 3:16 is the greatest verse, maybe the greatest verse in all the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. He quoted the verse to me and said, do you believe that? I said, yes, sir, I do. I didn't know anything about the Bible, but I was soon to find out that I could do something for God. Even the Apostle Peter, after he cursed God, took God's name in vain at the judgment hall, quit the ministry, took 6 disciples with him and went back into the fishing business, God went to him at the Sea of Galilee and basically said, I have something for you to do, Peter. Peter had quit. Peter had cursed God and quit. And God says, I have something for you to do. You know what Peter did? He went out and changed the world, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. My friend, I want to say this to you today. I don't care who you are. You can do something for God. I don't care how bad your sin has been. You can do something for God. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Number two, your family needs Jesus Christ. And you are an influence on your family. I don't care if you're the child or you're the parent. You have an influence on your family. They need Jesus Christ. There was a time in my life as a young man and as a child, I would have followed my parents anywhere they wanted me to go. I trusted them. I loved them. And you, my friend, have an influence on your family too. They will follow. Now I have a 26-year-old daughter and a 21-year-old son. And I trust them. They influence me. No matter what your situation is, who you are in your family, you have an influence on your family. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, be ye followers of me as I follow Christ. My friend, you need to follow Christ Jesus, and be an influence on your family because they need Christ. If members of your family don't come to Christ, it means they will have an eternity without Christ. If they don't get saved or born again, they're going to spend an eternity in eternal hell. Your family needs Christ, and you have an influence on them, my friend. Number three, it's a mistake for you not to be in church. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 25, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling together of believers. The Bible says we are to encourage and to motivate other believers in Christ to be in church. The Bible says for the Christian person, you are to be in church. Now, if you're not a Christian person, you're unsaved today, then you need to get saved. And when you get saved, you need to get yourself in church. Get yourself in church and get baptized. Become a faithful, regular attender of the house of God. You are making a mistake if you are not in church on a regular basis. It should be an automatic. 52 Sundays a year, 52 Sundays in church. 52 morning services, 52 Sunday night services. And I even believe that you need to be in the house of God sometime during the week. Most churches have that on a Wednesday night. You need to be in church because you need to learn the Word of God. Where are you going to learn the Word of God? You need to be surrounded by a group of believers, someone that can guide you and teach you. You need to be in a Bible-preaching church. You know, there's a verse in the Bible in Leviticus that says there is going to be a judgment against the sins we committed in ignorance. The Bible calls it the sins of ignorance. We commit sin sometimes through ignorance, and the tragedy there is We don't even realize we're sinning against a holy God. So you need to be in church to know the Word of God. You need to know what is right and what is wrong, what God wants you to do. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." I had a young man come to church with his mother years ago, a nice-looking young man, very good athlete, very courteous, polite. Well, his mother prayed to get saved. She was excited about it. She started coming to church all the time, and she would bring her son on occasion, and he prayed to get saved. And I went to see the father. I went to see her husband, and I asked him if he would come to Christ, but he would not. He had all type of excuses, followed a false religion, and refused to come to church. On occasion, he would show up, but very, very rarely. And then as his wife became more and more faithful, he started to make excuses why she shouldn't come. He didn't want her to be out on the roads when the roads were wet. When wintertime came, he didn't want them on the road when the roads were snowy or icy or anything. Always an excuse. Keep that person out of church. Keep my wife out of church. Keep my son out of church. Even though the wife got saved and the son prayed to get saved, I believe the discouragement and the constant badgering wore down this wife, and eventually she stopped coming, and with that, the son stopped coming. As the years progressed, the marriage decayed, and marriage trouble was constant, and finally there was a divorce. The son is up and down, alcohol, drugs, in drug rehab, and I think you can trace it all back to that dad who said, "I don't want my son, I don't want my wife to be in church." What a dear price to pay. What a dear price to pay. When that boy had a young mind, a tender heart, willingness to learn, willingness to listen, dad said, "I don't want him in church. It's too dangerous to get out on the roads." And I would say to you, my friend, it's a mistake not to be in church. It's the best thing for your marriage. It's the best thing for your career. It's the best thing for your peace of mind. It's a mistake not to be in church. And then number four, things that I wish I would have known years ago. Number four, there is going to come a time when someone who says they are a Christian is going to disappoint you. And people around you, their actions are not going to glorify Christ or lift up Christ, and you're going to be disappointed in them. And my fourth point is simply this. You must separate Christ from the actions of other people. Other people did not die for you on the cross. Other people did not save you. Other people are not getting you into heaven. It is Jesus Christ that suffered for you. Jesus Christ that bled, shed his blood at Calvary for you. It is Jesus Christ who died for you. He's the one that paid for your sin penalty. And what a major mistake when you stay out of church because of the sin of someone else. You need to understand that it is Christ who saved you. And when you go to church, that's who you're worshiping, Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says for us to be separate. You may not change their life, but I'll tell you what, you can still be in church. You can still worship a holy God. God hasn't failed you. I've been saved 34 years. God's never disappointed me. I've stumbled around, and I've made mistakes, and I've failed over and over. But I tell you, Jesus Christ has never disappointed me. He's never failed me. He answers my prayer. He encourages me, he teaches me, he guides me, he comforts me. My friend, you have to recognize that Christian people are still sinners. I don't think there's probably a church in America or the world that doesn't have someone there that's a hypocrite, and most churches probably have many hypocrites. Christian people are still sinners. Christian people are not perfect people. There are people who have been forgiven. There are people who have agreed with God that they're a sinner. And you must learn to separate sinful people from church and from Jesus Christ. My father had a stepfather who always insisted that he work. My dad was never allowed to play ball, so I don't believe that my dad was raised in church. I just want to say to you, maybe you've had a difficult childhood, or you've been raised in a difficult home. That's still not an excuse to keep you out of church. Maybe someone's terribly disappointed you or sinned against you. That's not a reason for you to stay out of church. Maybe someone's lied to you, stolen from you. That's not a reason for you to stay out of church. You need to be in church, and you need to separate people from Jesus Christ and recognize Christ loves you and has suffered for you, shed his blood for you, died for you. You need to be in church, and you need to worship Jesus Christ. Two more points. Number five, one day, my friend, one day, God will make all things right. God will make all things right. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, Jesus Christ says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me." That reward can be for good, or it can be for evil. The Bible says in Romans, God says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." During this lifetime, someone is going to mistreat you, sin against you, lie about you, stab you in the back. Someone's going to do something wrong. I wish someone would have told me years ago, God's going to take care of it. One day, he's going to make everything right. You can trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. And here's what the verse says. It just says, "Those that do you wrong, God will deal with." God will trouble those people that mistreat you. My friend, it's true. God will trouble those that mistreat you. God is just, and he will make all things right. On the other hand, good things that you do, God's going to reward that. The Bible calls it the Bema Judgment Seat, B-E-M-A, the Bema Judgment Seat. It's a place of reward. Every believer that has tried to live for Christ, been faithful, every believer will be rewarded according to how he has lived for Christ. And the key ingredient, the key element, is your faithfulness. God has given everyone different spiritual gifts and different abilities and different opportunities. And you take what God has given you, and you use those gifts, and your reward will be determined how faithful you are with the gifts, the talents, the opportunities that God has given you. One day, God will make all things right. You will be rewarded for what you have done, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, and then I will reward you as you've been faithful to me. And then the final thing I want to share with you today, six things I wish I would have known, or six things I wish someone would have told my own dad. Number six, it's not too late to change your life. It's not too late to change your life. Peter followed Jesus for 3 years, person to person. He walked with him, saw the miracles, saw the power of God, heard Jesus preach. And then when Jesus went to the judgment hall, Peter cursed God, denied that he knew him, was afraid. And when he realized what he had done, the Bible says he broke down and he wept and he cried and he ran out of the judgment hall. So discouraged, he quit the ministry. Took six other disciples with him. But I think it's so very important to recognize this. Jesus went to him and said, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know I do." Jesus said again, "Peter, do you love me?" And Jesus said, "Lord, you know I love you." And then the third time, Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know I love you." And God said to Peter, "I have something for you to do." And he said, "Peter, you know, when you were a young man, you got up and dressed yourself, you went where you wanted to go. But Peter, when you're an old man, men are going to take you by the arms, and they're going to nail you to the cross. They're going to crucify you." You know, Peter wasn't willing to be crucified with Christ as a younger believer, but he was willing to be crucified for Christ as an older man. He grew in Christ. What I'm saying to you, friend, today is this. Maybe you've trusted Christ as your Savior and you've failed. You've disappointed yourself. You've disappointed others, but I'm telling you, it's not too late to change and go back and do it right. Maybe you've never been saved today. You're sitting here listening to this program. And you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Satan is saying to you, you're too old to get saved. You're too old to change. It's too old for you to change churches. But I want to say to you, it's not too late to change. I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of this message to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It is not too late to change. Your whole eternity in heaven may rest on your decision today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, the Bible says, "Behold, today is the day of salvation." I would say to you that are listening today, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you are not listening to this by accident. I believe it's ordained of God, and today is the day that God wants you to get saved. David was the king of Israel, a man after God's own heart. He fell into adultery. When he was caught in the adultery, he murdered the adulteress's husband to try to cover up the sin. He was guilty of adultery and murder. David could have quit. Do you know what David did? When confronted, David confessed his sin, asked God to forgive him, and went back to the battle and lived his life for Jesus Christ. The son that the adulterous lady bare was Solomon, who was going to become the wisest man in the history of the world, had the opportunity to be a great king of Israel. So I'm just saying to you, David went back to the battle and he lived for Christ. Peter went back to the battle and he lived for Christ, changed the world. It's not too late for you to change what you're doing. It's not too late for you to get out of your sin. Not too late for you to get saved. Not too late for you to repent of your sin and get back in church. It's not too late. Now's a great time to say, I want to live for Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, in Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul said, I'm not what I ought to be, but this one thing I do, forgetting the past and reaching forward to the prize of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you determine to live for Jesus Christ today? Will you trust Christ? If you never have before, will you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today? Right now, would you pray this prayer with me? Oh God, I repent of my sin and I ask you to forgive me. I believe Jesus Christ died for me and paid the penalty for my sin. I believe that he was buried, and I believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, conquered death, and by faith, I want to ask Jesus Christ to come into my life right now and be my personal Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. My friend, I want to thank you for listening today. If you just ask Christ to be your Savior, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you ask Christ to come into your life, you were sincere, you understood, you asked Christ to come into your life, the Bible says, you have been born again. You've been saved. And I want to rejoice with you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit us on the web at www.monclovabaptist.org.